Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
What we're about to share on is so important. I have just a few minutes. I want you to be ready to soak it in because this is about the most important part of this series. Come on, are you with me? Because it doesn't really matter how many books you've read on divine guidance. It doesn't really matter what encounters you've had, and if you were ushered into a seventh dimension and saw an angel who gave you a scroll, and in that scroll was everything God ever ordained to be done through your life. You see, there is still a factor that will determine if the things which were foreordained will be done or not. You see, one thing you need to learn is that just because God said it does not mean it to happen. A lot of people don't know that. Just because God said it does not mean it to happen. There are two types of prophecy. There are conditional prophecies and there are unconditional prophecies. Unconditional prophecies don't really depend on man. God, according to his faithfulness and, you know, the integrity of his name, will provide for himself a Messiah, a lamb. That lamb has come. He has died for the sins of humanity. Now, all who believe in him will be saved. And after the time elapses, he will come again. And he will rapture his church. That's unconditional. There is nothing you can do to stop that. That's going to happen. But when it comes to the nitty-gritties of your day-to-day life and what God has intended for you as your contribution to his wholesome, unconditional prophetic plan, that one is up to you. And that's why we have titled this service Gallant. And the aim and objective is simply this: to teach on bravely executing God's divine plan for your life. So when you understand that this is what the Lord is leading me to do, then what next? Simple question, right? I had a dream and it has been confirmed that this is God speaking to me. This is what he wants me to do. What next? What then? You know, some people, just the voice of God is enough flattery for them. They just go about talking about what God said. They have no plan on executing. God said, God said, God said, God said. According to my prophetic plan, I plan to. You know, some people are 20 years after, they are planning to do some things that they have not started. We want to talk about this. And the first thing I want to say by way of introduction is this, and you must settle your mind on this: just because God ordained it does not mean it to be easy. Please, are you listening to me? So just because God ordained it does not mean it's going to be easy. In fact, many times it's going to be the opposite, because the voice of God will push you out of your comfort zone and will require that a type of you, a version of you that you have not seen before, will emerge. Because you see, sometimes God's plans are so sophisticated and so lofty that you're going to have to step into new shoes to be able to operate at that pedestal. It's going to push you out of your comfort zone, challenge you to walk towards new frontiers. And like I said, it will demand that a new you will emerge. And so if you want comfort, you should stay away from divine leading by all means. You know, the irony is this: some people want divine leading because they think life will be easy if they get divine leading. But listen, if you want comfort, if your sole aim is comfort, stay away from divine leading. Because let me tell you, Joseph, the day you dream that you see your brothers bowing and you tell them your life will never be the same again. Are you listening to me? So if your goal is comfort, stay away from divine leading. Because divine leading will tell you to do uncomfortable things. You see, the sweet part is God giving you an idea. The execution might be difficult. When God tells you, yeah, resign from your 9-to-5 and pursue this dream full time. Now, problem don't start. When God tells you, I gave you this vision in the UK, but it is not to be executed here. Return back to Nigeria. You say, Satan, Satan, I not to say you feel deceived me. I know. To be fair, for some of you, the leading might be the opposite. Go to UK. You like that one, right? Just make sure you're not going through the student visa route trying to bring a dependent, right? For some of you, divine leading might be, don't marry that boy. Don't marry that girl. You see, there are a lot of people who were already neck deep in a relationship only to discover that they made a mistake. But it takes bravery to do the right thing. To say, I'm sorry. We can't just go on. Please, are you listening to me? Let me show you a text. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. Jesus is speaking. And I like the fact that Jesus was upfront about, you know, all the responsibilities that he has from believers. He never lied. He says, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. He didn't say there will be no yoke. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's, you will carry load. There are burdens. Yes, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, the rest in Christ is not that there won't be burdens, but that the burdens will be worth it. That's the difference. The burdens will be worth it. I will take away your burdens and give you new burdens. Better burdens. More rewarding burdens. That's his promise. Not a life of ease. Not a la vida loca type of life. I will give you new burdens. Glorious burdens. And listen, there will be trouble first. And so he tells you in Matthew chapter 10 verse 35, he says, I have come to set a man at variance with his father. Has God told you to do something your father did not agree? And by the way, listen, before you run off with what I'm about to say, listen to the teaching I did on Wednesday, right? Yes, because I proved to you many times your parents are right. Yes, so you need to listen to that teaching. But sometimes they're wrong. And he says, Jesus said, I did not come, I came for war, violence. I came to set at variance man against father, and daughter against mother, and daughter-in-law against mother. You say, I knew it. Hallelujah. Because if you're going to follow God, you must be okay with the fact that some people will not understand. As you are building the wall, Sambalat and Tobias will say, come down. What are you doing up there? You utterly ambitious and arrogant human being. You're like, what have I done? You know, David had to say to his brothers, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Like, what really is the issue? What have I done wrong? Right? What have I done? All I asked was a question. What will be given to the person who defeats this giant? And you're angry. Saying, who left? Who did you leave with the few sheep at home? Because some people, their highest ambition of you, do you understand what I'm saying? They never see you go past a certain level. And so when you catch a dream, they feel insulted. When you tell older brothers, and it's arguable if Joseph did the right thing or not, telling his brothers. You know, it's arguable. You know, but he did dream. And the brothers are determined to make sure that he remains at the level they have seen him in their mind. And so they place limits. And it's okay. Your life will literally be normal until you hear God. Things will start falling apart. You know, someone said this brilliantly, you know. Mary has a decent life. She's engaged. Everything is going normal. An angel appears and says, "Hail, you are highly favored of God." And then the following events don't look like favor at all. The engagement breaks. What kind of favor is this? You said I'm highly favored, and next thing they broke up with me. What kind of favor is this? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? You see, so sometimes you have to recognize that the road to the execution of God's plan is not easy, but is right. I have come to set at variance man against father. Some people will stop listening to you, stop following you, but as long as you're in the will of God, as long as you have established that this is the voice of God and not just the voice of my mind, not just the voice of ambition, you better head on. Please, are you listening to me? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Let me go mathematical a little bit. The equation of fulfilling God's plan for your life is this: prophecy plus action equals spiritual progress. Prophecy plus action equals spiritual progress. What did I say everybody want to go? Let me say this to you. The reason I am putting this in a dramatic way, making it an equation, is this: without action, even hearing from God will not always make you better. If it is a conditional prophecy, nothing will happen until you move. Please, are you listening to me? Nothing will happen. Look at this text. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. God is speaking. He says, "Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon." He says, "Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land." You know, some people will stop there and start saying, "Oh, glory, it has been given to me." And you know, you're declaring and confessing. And some of you, that's why you're wondering why some prophecies have not been fulfilled. God said it. I know I heard it. I was on my own. And then I heard multiple times God said, "This I have given to you." You know, it was confirmed to me through visions and dreams and multitudes of confirmations. You know, why hasn't it happened? And then when I heard it, I received it. I rejoiced in it. I thanked God for it. Where is it? But there is a second part of the instruction that many people never listen to. You know what he says? He says, "Begin to possess it." He says, "And engage him in battle." Oh my God. Meaning, many times God gives you lands that are already occupied. Are you listening to me? And so, he has given you. It is sealed in the spirit, but you have a part to play. It's not going to happen without effort on your part. You have a part to play for this prophecy to be fulfilled. So many times, you know, the first word in this verse is literally rise. You're going to have to rise up and do something. Take steps in the direction of the fulfillment of God's prophetic word. You see, some prophecies are self-fulfilling. Some prophecies are dependent on your action. And so when God says, "Rise," don't sit and confess. You rise. And if you don't rise up, it will not happen. It will not. Oh God. It doesn't matter what you learn from me. If you don't learn this one, you have not learned much. If you don't learn boldness, the ability to simply follow what God said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You see, you will not see much progress in your life. I'm telling you that for sure. I want to show you a text that changed my life, you know, and I want to say in humility, is a description of my life. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Let me say this to you. For many of you, this text is the reason you don't hear God. Let me deviate a little. Are you with me? Can I do that for a few minutes? You know what Jesus said in John 7, 37? The Bible says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and cried with a loud voice. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. According to spiritual protocol, what God offers is water or satisfaction to thirsty people. God doesn't make you thirsty. He gives water to those who are thirsty. He says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. And the simple equation is this. Everyone is born with thirst. Everyone is born with a proclivity to search for God. But you see, because of their sin and their love for sin, they have dulled that sensitivity. And so he says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So as time goes on, just like Romans 1 says, you see, even if there was ample evidence that there was God, because they loved iniquity, as they did not retain God in their consciousness, he gave them up to a reprobate mind. And so for some people, the thirst is almost non-existent. But God's requirement is this. It is, don't forget the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? So that satisfaction is for those who hunger and thirst. And listen, the reason this is important is because it's literally a protocol for divine leading. You can summon divine guidance. This is where a lot of Christians miss it. And follow my line of thoughts. It now seems like the people who practice negative spirituality are more pragmatic and practical, because when they want some manifestations, they know what to do. So the Baba who is defeated by God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just for the sake of illustration, the Baba tells them, you take a calabash and you put this and you put that and you put this, and then you go to the three-road junction at this particular time. And when you put it there and say these words, this spirit and this encounter will happen to you. At least that's what they say in Hollywood, right? Best believe it happens. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? This and this and this will happen. But you see, a lot of Christians don't know how to attract divine guidance. And I'm telling you, the simple principle is this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. If you develop this appetite for pleasing God, and you have a track record of obedience, God's voice and divine leading will always come to you. In fact, check the people that Jesus now went to visit in his earthly ministry. The people who attracted divine encounter. It might have looked like a coincidence, but you would discover that it was their test that attracted Jesus. I have told you this before, how that when many people are reading John chapter 4, the only thing that stands out to them is that that woman was married 5 times. And that's what Nigerian Christians are trained to see. Moral deficiency. But there was more to the story. Come on, are you with me? That woman, despite her moral deficiencies, which is a big deal by the way, was more honorable than almost anybody that Jesus ever encountered. Whilst Jesus, being the Messiah, was commending himself to people and they couldn't even discern him. They had no real thirst to discover who the Messiah was. This woman said, I sent you a prophet. I have a question I've always had. And asked the question. And when Jesus answered the question, he said, well, the Messiah is coming. I know that when he comes, he will teach us all things. This woman woke up every day anticipating the coming of the Messiah. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's what made her special. Not just that. It is for that reason Jesus sat on the well to wait for her. Because her desire to receive answers necessitated Jesus to wait. Come on, are you with me? Because the formula is this: you shall seek me and find me after you have sought with the whole of your heart. Listen, if the word of God is true, then it means that the irresistible response to seeking God sincerely is that you will find him. And even if you are alone on your chariot, like the Ethiopian eunuch, racking your head to understand, if you are really seeking to know God, this God that is looking for how to reveal himself to people, you are seeking honestly, God, I want to know you. I'm trying to understand Isaiah 53. Who is this talking about? Like a sheep before the shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Look, who is he talking about? You see, God will call for Philip immediately. Go and join yourself to this chariot. And so it looked like a coincidence. Philip just happened to be there. Do you understand what you are reading? But it was divinely orchestrated by the hunger and the thirst in the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is this. If you establish yourself as someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness and who has a track record of obedience, even in the small things, let me tell you something. Divine leading will never be far from you. I am assuring you from experience and from the word of God. Divine leading is easy. If you find it hard to discover God's will on anything, you are not positioned properly. You will seek me and find me. It's not conditional. And so, look at what God says about Abraham in Genesis 18. He says, "For I know him." Oh God, that you would say this about me. You know, I mean, when God brags about you this way, you know, the Bible says that the eyes of God run to and fro the earth looking for men whose hearts are after him. Listen, God is looking for who to use. And there aren't many people that he can bet on like this. Abraham, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. Meaning, if I ask Abraham to do something, it's done. It's done. This is the reason God will always tell Abraham what he wants to do. Apart from, yeah, the grace of God, who chooses people who don't qualify, he qualifies the called and he doesn't call to qualify. Yes, there is that. But I want to assure you, God likes to work with doers. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if God should tell you his plan for your life, will you do anything? That's the question. Because before God ever says anything, he knows you. He knows you very well. I know Abraham. In order that he will command his children and his household after him, he says that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So I have not yet spoken to him, or well, in the context of Genesis 12, I have spoken to him, told him my plan for my life, for his life, but I know. I spoke to him because I know he would do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many people focus on hearing from God. But in hearing from God, God wants to have an assurance in your life. This one is a doer. There's something I say every once in a while, not to brag, but to stir you up. I believe that there is nothing God has asked me to do that I haven't either done or have begun to do or I'm preparing to do. Preparing to do, I mean the things that is not yet time for. Nothing. And if you know me, you know that is probably true. Because beyond hearing God, God knows those who have a reputation as doers of his word, not hearers alone. Not just hearing to feel spiritual. That if God tells you, leave this place now, go to this, I will only need time. Do you understand what I'm saying? It will be, the Lord knows, if he tells me now, go to any part of the world. He knows I will do it. Are you listening to me? I will come here, some of you who know me, you know, I will come here and say, bye everybody. You will not see me again for so and so time. I love you all, but you see, the voice of God, as long as I can ascertain that this is what God is saying, you won't see me. I promise you. I will be unavailable. There's a song by Don Wayne like that. You know, you all know the story, how that the ending of 2017, the Lord asked me to leave the Lagos church, go to Abuja, you know, more or less start afresh and raise a new assembly there. Make no mistake, I mean, it might be emotional, I will cry, you know, and everything, but I'm gone. But that's not even the story I'm telling you today. And I'm telling you this for a reason. For some of you, this is for you. It might not be for everybody, but some of you, when I say this, a fire will light up in your heart. You know, so listen, in my heart, somewhere in the deep recesses of my heart, I'm feeling, God, you be proud. You see, I'm a doer. He told me to leave and I left. He should be proud. And then months after, I'm praying with some disciples in Abuja that I'm training. About seven of them are pastors now, by the way. You know, and as I'm just praying, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to me and says, you are not radical enough. Yeah? This is one of the few times in my life I was almost annoyed at God. You know, when you've done something you think God should be proud of, you should pat me on the back. Do you know what it means? When you told me, leave Lagos, I left everything, came here with almost no money, got a house in Pape, Abuja, and I'm praying in the living room of that village, and you say I'm not radical enough. What do you mean? In retrospect, he was right. Are you listening to me? Between 2020 and now, we've planted 17 churches. Maybe because you are probably not counting, you don't realize how much has been done. We've planted 17 churches, and more than 8,000 people have joined the church since then. It was true. Glory be to God. You feel free to clap. That's for Jesus, by the way. And here is why I'm telling you this. There is an aspect to divine leading that a lot of people don't know. Sometimes when God wants to lead you, he will wait for you to match his energy. He will never really tell you what is waiting for you on the other side. You will have to take steps of faith. He will show you but the tip of the iceberg. If God is going to send an abundance of rain, he will show you a small cloud the size of a hand. It will now take a prophet who understands the move of God to say, that's a revival. Are you getting what I'm saying? So some people need to learn to walk with the promptings of God, because sometimes God doesn't tell you all you need to know. All you know is the next step, and it will take obedience. So what I'm saying is this. There are things you will never touch, things that are yours, things that are established in God's plan, etched in his divine writ concerning your destiny, that you will only step into by boldness. When God tells you, you need to be radical. Meaning, when I tell you, go. I'm not just saying go, jump. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am teaching you how to jump. God told me, in Abuja, I'm not radical enough. It shocked me so much, I stopped praying. And I was just like, I know you know all things, I can't argue. But really? He was correct. Can I show you something? Answer me now. Yes, I hope it will bless you as much as it blessed me. Because this is the story of my life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Did I say 12? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12? Everybody read together loud as you can. 1, 2, go. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. Listen, was the door opened before he got there? He took a step of obedience and discovered a door was open. Listen, God did not tell him before he went. God didn't tell him. So he went in obedience because God said, go. To all the world, right? So he went to Troas and discovered that a door of utterance was opened unto him. Meaning there are some things that God has ordained for you that only boldness will unlock. Only boldness. Aye, God, if you learn what I'm teaching you, Jesus. So it is possible that even in the will of God, you are not touching all that is available. It is possible. Because sometimes God says, go to Troas. Sometimes he doesn't. He expects you to take steps of obedience. Come on, are you with me? Reaching as far as you can. Doing as much as you can in the will of God. And there you will stumble into places where God was waiting for you. And that your obedience alone will unlock. I came to Troas to find a door of utterance opened unto me. God! I can't tell you how many times we've seen this. How many times? Just simple obedience. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. Almost every branch we have opened, this was the experience. We didn't know how many people were waiting until we got there. By scriptures like this, now we have 4 branches in the United Kingdom. Think about that. In 2 years, one is launching now. They are preaching in Scotland, Glasgow, right now as I'm preaching. 40 workers. Are you listening to me? I said, did they come from the other branches? The pastor said, no. 40 workers here. Because I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and I found a door open. Oh my God. I'm prophesying that someone who is listening to me will take steps of obedience to discover that God was waiting. I'm saying it again. You will take steps of obedience to discover God was waiting. I'm saying it again. You will take steps of obedience to discover God was waiting. You are finding your trust. Obedience is helping you discover doors that are opened unto you. Hey, walk in divine obedience like never before. Walk in boldness like never before. I'm telling you, in this service, fear is dropping off you. Fear is dropping off you. Faith is rising in your spirit. Say amen like you believe. Say amen like you believe. And a door. So sometimes all you see, oh God. This is a training on discernment. When Elijah is praying, and I think, is this 2 Kings 18 now? And he asks his servant to go and check 1 Kings 18. And he comes and he says, I see just a small cloud, the size of a hand. It takes a prophet, someone who understands prophecy to say, tell the king, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Someone from a natural standpoint will see a small hand. I see rain. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to watch out for the divine signals. So sometimes it might be small. Small. Follow the promptings. At least follow the promptings. For a preacher, it might be just four people sent you a message from that region saying, oh, we've been following your ministry and all of that and all of that. You see, let me tell you something. The reason, oh my God. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? There are times God tells you, go. There are other times you ask God, should I go? Should I go? Should I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I recover all? Sometimes you start the conversation. Especially when it comes to something like an evangelical call, or especially when it comes to career. When the Bible says fundamentally, in all labor there is profit. Come on, are you with me? Yes, sir. So when you see signs of an opportunity, it might be small. Learn to test things out. Because in testing and in going to trust, just by simple obedience and boldness, come on, are you with me? You will discover many doors you will never have discovered. You know what I've discovered? No matter how often you hear God, there are things you will miss if you are not bold. If you don't just take steps of obedience. If you don't learn to just see divine patterns and follow. See the divine patterns. Follow it. In your 9-to-5, you will just have a side hustle. You sew clothes. You sold one for someone and everybody started shouting about it. Everybody. At least. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you listening to me? There might be something there. Learn to probe. Let me use a religious term you understand. Sensitivity. Probe. There might be something there. So, sow another one. You have a gift people are ready to pay for. You are waiting for a loud voice. At least, there's a principle called bullets before cannonballs. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's at least calculated risks. My next sabbatical, or my next holiday, I'm going to delve into this and see what can come out of it. You see, when God shows you cloud the size of a hand, learn to probe. Are you listening to me? So even if I'm not resigning my job fully, I can afford to employ someone who will manage this. Let's see how much clientele and customer base I can, so that I will know for sure. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are ways to investigate divine leading like Gideon. I can investigate it. God, is there something here? Are you telling me something? Because sometimes God shows you signs, just shows you flashes of what is possible. He wants to match your energy. What are you going to do about that? So you're going to have to take steps. And you go to trust and be like, what? Oh my God. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Look at Philippians chapter 3, from verse 13. I think this is a training on boldness. And so there are just three things I want to point out from this, and then we move on. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 13. Oh my God. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Listen, if you want to develop a track record of divine obedience, a track record of boldness, there are three things in this text you must master. Number one, you must never consider yourself to have apprehended. You see, many people are too easily satisfied. You have 500K in your account. You're already telling someone on the road, do you know who I am? It's a Nigerian syndrome. It's an African syndrome. It's a show of insecurity to always want your car to be a reflection of your worth. Your dressing to be a reflection. You depend on those things because you have no spine in and of yourself. You have no spine. Too easily comfortable. You see people 10 times bigger than you, still hungry, still crying out to God. God, I want to fulfill all your dreams for my life. And then you, just one job. You're already so complacent. You can't hear God anymore. Your visions, have you noticed that hungry people are more entrepreneurial usually? When you were starting, it was easier to take risks. The moment some blessings started resting, now it is hard for God to even get you to focus. You know, I told you this. I can't remember where I said this. You know, it just hit me. I saw, according to statistics, there is a player in basketball currently who is a billionaire in dollars. You don't understand how strange that is to me as a Nigerian. That there's a man who wears short knicker every day and is bouncing ball. A billionaire in dollars. Let a Nigerian touch 10 million. Is Agbada, eh? Is Agbada will be like a wedding gown. Five people will hold it at the back. You know it's true. So that is a message on his own. Therefore, what is he playing for? And I've discovered that's the secret of great people. Great people are not after success. They're after significance. There's a difference. If you, all you want is to hammer, you still think small. God cannot do much through you. He cannot. And that's why some people start dying when they buy a fine car. It's just one success. It is the beginning of the end. I count not myself to have apprehended. Come on, are you with me? But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are past. You see, one of the biggest secrets of my life is I'm forgetful. I'm telling you, I don't hold achievements to my chest. I don't. I don't know how God wired me. It might be a training in the world, it might be upbringing, the combination of many things. God has developed such a large capacity. My container is so strong. If you throw 1 billion there, it will go to the center. It will go down. It won't change my walking step. You will not know. You will not know. And I promise you this. Mark it. I will still be the same. You can't change me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Forgetting the things that are past. So, number one, you must count not yourself to have apprehended. Number two, learn to forget. Learn to forget. Some people, all their testimonies are still 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I did cowbell competition. They ask you for your idom moment. You are mentioning primary five. primary five. Ha! Don't you see there's a problem? Someone's like, what's it done? Someone's like, I don't get it. What's it done? So, I don't know. That was good. That was good. May the Lord give you understanding. Forgetting the things that are past. Reaching on. Oh my God. Have you not heard before? This might sound cliche and motivational, but it is true. That good is the enemy of great. It takes, and that's why, listen, when you step into a new level of success, you must develop new associations that will keep you hungry. If you stay only where you have been, you'll be a local champion. They'll be hailing you. You think you have arrived. Come on, are you listening to me? Oh my God. There's something I wanted to say, but no, I won't say it. Yeah, my God. Should I say this thing? No. Okay. So there was something that happened. You know, one of my sons who has been a big blessing to me. No, Joe. All right. I'll say, if you judge me, turn that word. All right, I will tell you. So, you know, so this happened. You know, one of those times I was traveling local flight. See the way you're focusing. You like gist. Anyway, I was traveling local flight, you know, and then when they were doing the logistics, the protocol had to apologize. Oh, they don't have business class. Is it okay? And, you know, I was just like, I don't really mind, but okay, check. And then after a bit of hassle, they found a flight that had business class. And as I was there sitting, one of my sons, who that year had bought me 2 cars and done a lot for church, you know, he just came in, he was on the same flight, shirt and trouser, sitting in economy. Ah, hello, pastor, how are you? In front and walked to the back. So, I looked at the chair. Is it my priority? I had to check again. Now, if he hears this, he'll be angry. I even said it, you know, and he'll be embarrassed. I know he won't mind, but that's part of the problem. You get what I'm saying? So, I'm saying, even I, sometimes I check myself. Listen, there's nothing wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? There must be a right use of means, but you want to keep checking your heart to make sure this doesn't define me. Yes. Come on, now you get what I'm saying? So, when I traveled to the UK, I had already received an invite to preach for someone. So because of that, when UK came up, it was, and I had a choice, either to just say, oh, I'm going to be the UK and disappoint them and all the plans that they've made. But I said, you know what? I'm going to book my flight and I'm going to come. I'm going to fly down and come. And mind you, this was going to be 2 extra flights unbudgeted. I flew to the UK with my family. I'm not going to book business class. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I feel uncomfortable saying this, but you said I can say it, right? So, you know, I booked it well and sat now, you know. And people were greeting me, oh, pastor, how are you? I greeted them. Some say, pray for me. Bless you. Do you understand? You know, so listen, I am saying that at every point, especially when you begin to cross into a new level, you see, The problem, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because some people, what kills them is that their appetite changes so radically, you become Gucci. You want to step, you say, this floor. You start doing like this. You spend all your money on fake life. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to promise you under God, I'm not under pressure. There is nothing I am doing that I cannot afford. And you see, I thank God for my upbringing. You see, a lot of people, the only thing they know about someone like Bishop Oyedepo is what they hear online. I pity you. Let me surprise you. That man is one of the modest, most modest human beings you will ever find. The people who know. Proof. His children all attended the same secondary school as I did. Who my papa be? I'm sorry, Mr. Itikina. But you see, as a child going to the church then, hearing him say, school fees has never been a prayer point because I have never sent my children to a school that needed prayer to pay. And I knew firsthand because I knew all the big schools then. We used to play them in basketball games. And his children were not there. His children were with me. And my father was praying to, you understand? But no problem. I'm glad that my dad, glad for his sacrifice. That sacrifice was not too much. Do you understand? But you get what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. But I said all of that to say this. Learn to forget. Some of you take yourself too seriously. Now, any small thing, too sensitive. Too sensitive. Your car is bad. And so you can't enter Uber. They have started getting you. They started getting, some of you go to a restaurant. They know, oh my God, they use your pride to make money off you. Because they just say, I know you ordered, we upgraded, I went to buy something. They said, we upgraded your order. It will just cost you additional 3,000. I said, who sent you? I don't want upgrade. Don't upgrade me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you will enter stores, you ask, how much is this? They will call one price because they know your pride. It's not a priority at that time. You don't have the boldness to say, I cannot afford it. The irony is, until you learn to say, I cannot afford it, you'll be poor. Because you need to understand the difference. It's not everything your money can buy that you can afford. If you earn 20K, you can't afford 20K perfume. Say it with your full chest. I cannot. Are you listening to me? Please, rehearse it. I cannot. Listen, I like good stuff. But don't let anybody pressure you and push you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's important. The reason I'm saying all of this is because there is something to press for. God. I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting the things that are past and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, according to the eyes of men. The priority of men have achieved already and they're clapping for me. But God has a scheme. God's own standard is higher. I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in His Christ. I will not settle for less. I know that there is more that is found in you. I press on. Come on, are you with me? And as I bring this to a close, I'll just say two things and I end. So that means to fully obey God, I will not run away from confrontation. Because divine leading will push me out of my comfort zone. There are people I would disagree with. There are people who will disagree with me. The reason this has to be taught to Nigerian Christians is because their definition of Christianity is that you are just so nice you can't hurt a fly. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not following. Jesus knows how to bring cane when necessary. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you must learn to love people and disagree. Are you listening to this? If you don't learn this, see, oh my God. You see, a psychologist was talking about this. He said one of the ways that he trains people is that he tells them to look for someone who can volunteer for them to, just for practice, disagree. And they will sit down in front of each other and he says, confront the person. Maybe something that has been on your heart. You see, because you have to learn to confront. Some of you, the reason your salary has not been increased is not because you lack favor, it's that you don't know how to negotiate. Jesus. You don't know. In this country, you have to find creative, you know, some people, if you are just so agreeable, they would have given you one task as your job description. They will add seven. You are working on weekends, working on Sundays. You have no life. The salary is the same. You don't know how to negotiate. You have to find creative ways to disagree. Are you listening to me? If you don't learn what I'm saying, it will be as if there's no favor on your life. You have to learn to disagree. Because you see, oh my God, it is not true that the patient dog always eats the fattest bone. The person who said that did not live in this country. And I'm not teaching you how to be stubborn, how to be insatiable, how to lack contentment. I'm just saying respectfully, you know, there is HR language for these things. You just say, you gave me this task previously. How do you advise I prioritize with these new tasks? You don't just say yes, sir. Ask questions. If you do a great job, find a way to let it show. It's not humility. It's not be church. You they walk. That God is my reward. I know God is your rewarder. But you were paid to do a job. Learn to find a way to share your achievements in that company. Do you understand what I'm saying? Put your foot forward. Present yourself. Say, I can do this. I want you to see. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let them know you are available. You are going to show up. You can do it. You are there. Be obvious. Don't say, some other people, they like to show themselves. You know? Please, are you listening to me? And then finally, this is the last thing I'm going to say, I promise. Like I said, yeah, what is that? What is that? Like I said, I think it was 2 Wednesdays ago. Fear is normal. In fact, boldness is not always a good thing. I gave the example of when I was in, you know, Dubai with my kids and I went to an amusement park and entered one of those, their vehicles. I will never do that again in my life. Because at some point, I thought I was going to die. So when the thing was going up and down, I was fine. When the thing started going sideways, because I might be over-calculative, but the belt, there was no strap for my shoulder. It was just here. So, sideways, I've watched many films. So, I'm thinking, what can happen? I've cast out many demons, and one is probably saying, this is our chance. That's it. I don't joke with water, for instance, because I've given them trouble. Say what you like. But as I was there fighting for my life, I saw my children having the time of their lives, screaming, woo! Yeah! And you know, And not just them, all the kids there were enjoying it. Ah! And they came, now let's go again. That's when I knew fear is not always a bad thing. Some people lack fear because they are stupid. They don't know what's at stake. The children don't know what's at stake. That's why they were not afraid. You get what I'm saying? So, you see, sometimes you see, oh my God, some of you, you need that balance. You are too comfortable. Not everybody around you means well for you. Learn to lock your door when you get home. Do you understand what I'm saying? Learn to know the police station close to your house. Have numbers you can call in case of emergency. The fact that you are born again does not mean you won't face tribulations. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there is that balance. So why should we not be afraid? It's not just because of the sake of it. I was having this conversation with Pastor Bisola, and she pointed out something very brilliant. She said in first service that every time God said, fear not in the Bible, he said, because I am with you. Yeah. Oh my God. That what fuels this confidence is because he gives you an assurance, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, there's a phrase I like in Yoruba that emphasizes it. In fact, I made, you know, a placard of it in my office and put it there so I can see it immediately I enter the office. It is called the Romanisha Fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? The one who sends you on an errand and follows you and backs you up. Come on. I know this God. So the assurance that when he asks me to do something, he doesn't leave me by myself. He is walking with me, confirming the words with signs following. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when he tells Jeremiah, fear not, he says, because I am with you. When he tells Moses, fear not, he says, because I am with you. Every time, that is what he says. And so, for you to be afraid, it means that you have rated the possible things that can go wrong greater than you rate him. And that's wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this is the theology of fear. Why fear those who can only destroy the body? Fear him who can not only destroy the body, but knows how to destroy even the soul in hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the reason I'm not afraid is because I have prioritized my fear. I fear God more. I fear God more than I fear failure. If I am in the will of God, failure is okay.
Oh God.
Failure is okay. I don't mind doing what I was convinced God said I should do and failing. I don't mind that. Please, if you don't learn this, you're going to miss out of a lot of great things in your life. Please, have you learned this? Uh-huh. So I will give you just two references and you read when you get home. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth. You shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Do you believe that?
Yes,
sir. He says, so this is not motivation. He says, do not be afraid because I am with you. Same thing in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. I will certainly be with you, Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yes,
certainly be with you, he told Moses. And so, please listen to what I'm about to say and receive it from your heart. This is also very important. Do you know why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? One of the many reasons is this. It is just scarcity mindset. It is indeed a phenomenon, and let me explain it to you. When a poor person wants to risk, no matter how brilliant you are in business, you can do all your feasibility studies right and it does not work. I hope you know. And so people who are successful, because they have capital, they can keep trying. Does the Bible not say cast your bread upon the waters. He says, after many days, he says, you literally don't know from whence it will yield. And so a poor man, he's thinking, if you try three times and it doesn't work, your wife will begin to ask you, what are you doing? Do you want us to start? Do you understand what I'm saying? But someone can tell you that he was creating the light bulb and he tried 999 times and failed. Are you getting what I'm saying? And because there was capital, he could try one more time. Forget what you learned in school. You see, school may not have prepared you for real life. Failure many times is okay. Jesus. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Failure is okay. There is no way to be great as a businessman without failing. See, oh my God. Any businessman that has not failed at one, two, three, he can't advise you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Check people. Every great businessman has scars. And it is part of it. And so, there is another discipline you must learn where, oh my God, you dug a well and they seized it, you dig another. You don't start asking God, why didn't it work? Why, you know, and all of that. You see, so listen, boldness requires tenacity. I know you invested once and they duped you. And you think that the right thing to do is to be safe. And now, even God doesn't bother telling you invest again. If you don't change that, you will be small all the days of your life. Go out again. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
go out again. Try again.
Yes,
so that when Jesus, this is, listen to me. When God says, cast your net, Peter doesn't say, I tried all night. I am letting you know how bad experiences can hinder you from obeying God. I tried all night. It didn't work. I already tried. This is how a good disciple will respond. Nevertheless, at your word. Oh my God. Nevertheless. This thing, I have tried it before. Listen, I'm saying prophetically, some of you, it is the same thing you failed at before that will work this time. Nevertheless, at your word. Oh my God. Come on, are you listening to me? And obey God, knowing that He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that as they prayed, the place where they were shook, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. For everyone who is ready to obey God, let the Spirit of God sponsor you.
Amen.
So if from all that I've been saying, you are ready to follow God without looking back, I give you 4 minutes, speak in tongues violently, 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 violently. Violently. Cause we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you, and we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. We will never. Atakapaya, atakapaya, teke pale teke poko shete ke pelia, ro teke pele teke poko shete,
Rondele paka shete ke pele tekiba koso tekibe rotoko prete ke pele tekiba shete ke pele tekibe keba emprete ke pete keba.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. I want you to say this to the Lord, and I'm giving you 20 seconds. Very simple. Here I am. Send me. Begin to talk to Him right now. Send me. Send me. Send me. Send me. Moses said, I would to God that all God's people were prophets. All. Meaning it is possible that from the least of us to the greatest, everyone hears God and is walking consistent with His plan. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, first and foremost, my first prayer for you is that the voice of strangers you will not hear. Amen. You will not take radical steps thinking that you were hearing God, not knowing that you were moving with carnal promptings or just your mind. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray for every one of you who senses a divine call. According to the word of God, there will be confirmation upon confirmation. Amen. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. True dreams, visions, confirmations from people filled with the spirits. I am prophesying again. There will be confirmation upon confirmation. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that all the boldness it takes to forge ahead in spite of contradiction and persecution. Oh my God. That grace by the infilling of the Spirit has come upon you strong. Has come upon you strong. Has come upon you strong. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Ato pale atom presa pila capon graste pon som prestiga ante capaleton se prase.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.